at times is becoming farcical. And you have to really feel for these players and management. This isn't normal in any shape or form.
For your first chance to hear Brian O'Driscoll on OTB, download the OTB Sports app and turn on your notifications.
Big game tonight, obviously, a full house at the Aviva. There's going to be a full house on Saturday afternoon when the All Blacks roll into town as well. And to set the table for us, I'm delighted to say we've got Gregor Paul with us. Good morning to you, Gregor. How are you getting on?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, good. You've written recently about this being an important rivalry for New Zealand. I don't know if you're conversant with the art of Yerra, which is what Kerry people do when they come and they're playing a big game and they talk up the opposition and then they flounce in and beat the hell out of whoever they're playing against. It feels a little bit like we're being Yerra'd by the good people of New Zealand.
No, look, I don't think so. I know why you're thinking that, but look at the results. Look at the last handful. I mean, forget the World Cup game, which has proven to be a wee bit of an anomaly. And then think back to the nature of the last four or five tests between these two. What's two each? And certainly the game in 2013 was Ireland's all the way, wasn't it? And New Zealand pulled off this amazing late escape. So now, look, that rivalry is rare. I wouldn't want you to think I was being tongue-in-cheek with that at all or a wee bit facetious. I wasn't at all. I think everyone here has got a huge amount of respect for Ireland because they have to. They've won two of the last three test matches, and it could be another one this weekend.
Is it a fierce rivalry only when New Zealand come up here at the end of a long season?
Well, I guess we could find that out a wee bit next year, won't we? Because Ireland will be down here for three. It certainly feels like it's easier to play the All Blacks on your home patch, isn't it? It's not easy to come down here in July after a long season in Europe and take the All Blacks on in July. So definitely feels like Aviva has become a pretty tough destination for the All Blacks on that November trip. And yeah, I've been covering them for long enough to know that probably wasn't true, I don't know, 10 years ago. New Zealand would go to Dublin and it was pretty much locked in that would be a fairly regulation 10-point, 12-point, 20-point win, whatever it was going to be. But in the last 10 years, I think going to Dublin, certainly since 2013 and that amazing game that we saw, the nature of tests that the All Blacks have played there is completely different. And it's like I've written today, it's not published yet, but I've written today, going to Aviva is up there with, for the All Blacks now, going to Ellis Park, going to Twickenham, going to Suncourt in Brisbane. It's a tough place for them to get a result now.
Well, it is genuinely good to hear and interesting to hear that perspective. Why do you think it has happened? What is it about the challenge that Ireland posed to the All Blacks that has actually caused them difficulties in Dublin?
Well, it's probably two things have coincided. Ireland have built a kind of, look, and I'm talking to guys that know Irish rugby an awful lot better than I do, so apologies if I'm speaking on Ireland's behalf. But from the type of rugby I've seen Ireland play, it tends to be lower risk, very good kicking game, good contestable kicks. They challenge for the ball well. They don't take a lot of risks in their own territory, don't necessarily play a lot of rugby, but strong at set piece, very good over the ball, very good at the tackle ball, and use possession when you think it's on. So there's not a lot of risk, but you do take some when you've created that opportunity. And that template, and particularly the Irish defence as well, with Andy Farrell's blueprint all over it, and even before he was there, I think Ireland were executing a really clever outside-in defensive game. That style of football has almost become kryptonite for the All Blacks. They've struggled against it. South Africa are really, really good at doing it. England are good at doing it. And it's proven to be the case that if you play that really aggressive rush defence against the All Blacks, if you kick a lot of your possession away, as long as you kick well, because as Wales found out a couple of weeks ago, if you don't kick well, you're toast because these guys catch and disappear and it's all over. But if you kick well, rush them on defence, get in Bowden Barrett's face, stop them from being able to play at the pace with the width that they want, they've become exceptionally vulnerable to that. And the two things have coincided. Ireland have built a type of game plan and got very good at it at the same time that the All Blacks have become quite vulnerable to that style of rugby. So we've seen the nature change. And look, the biggest change of all is that Ireland finally managed to win a test back in Chicago. And I think once you've won one, it's probably like winning a golf major or a tennis grand slam, isn't it? Once you've actually done it once, it opens the door for that self-belief and for that knowledge that I think it's kind of humanized the All Blacks to Ireland. You know, look at Scotland and Wales. I'm not sure if they're ever going to beat the All Blacks again, but Ireland have got over that hump. They managed to do it once, and then 2 years later, they managed to do it again. So there's clearly something about managing to beat them once that opens the door to that being a real possibility to keep doing it.
It's mad how important the psychology of big-time professional sport is, that ultimately when it comes down, humanising them is hugely important. It's interesting you're talking about this as well, because at the moment, right, we're actually desperately trying not to just be that team that you so accurately described. Under Joe Schmidt, we were unbelievably clinical at rucks and from set pieces, and there wasn't a huge amount of creativity, and we didn't really look to keep the ball alive. There's been a transition, and it's been slow to bear fruit, but we're desperately trying to be a team that actually can keep the ball alive, that doesn't just look for contact, and maybe in the long term we might protect the health of some of our players by not putting them into 100 rucks a game. So we're going through that transition at the moment. You're talking about the style that Ireland had, that England had, that South Africa had, being kryptonite for the All Blacks. Is it fair to say that Ian Foster and the coaching ticket at the moment are trying to evolve to a point where nothing will be kryptonite in the future, and then they can actually deal with whatever it is that South Africa in particular and maybe England throw at them?
Yeah, 100%. Well, I think that they were being exposed a wee bit. 2017, the Lions came. Andy Farrell's defence really got them in a bit of a tiz when the Lions came out. Ireland played in a moderately similar way in 18, and then England beat the All Blacks really quite comfortably at the World Cup. So when Ian Foster took over, number one priority was saying, well, look, if people give us space to play, we're going to tear them apart. So we don't want to lose that. We want to keep that instinctive, unstructured part of our game and look to live off turnovers and loose kicks. That will always be our bread and butter. But we've got to be able to play the likes of South Africa and England and even Ireland, who, if they're not going to give us the space, if they're not going to give us the ball, if they're going to dominate us a wee bit physically and our game falls apart, well, we're not particularly well equipped, are we? So number one priority, how do we manage to play our style of rugby against all of these teams? So that was his priority, toughen up a little bit physically, improve the set piece, get more dynamic in the ball carrying aspect of their work. They were actually not that good at that in the last World Cup cycle. So these have all been priority areas to fix, improve their ability to take the high ball as well. That was a priority, but of course COVID came and didn't get the opportunity to play those types of teams in 2020. It was like a whole series against Australia and Argentina, so they didn't get that chance. Nobody from Europe came out here in July. So really the first opportunity that they've had to test themselves to see how far they've developed came against South Africa in the Rugby Championship. And I think they were a wee bit disappointed. I mean, they won one and lost one, but they didn't play very well in either test. And all the old feelings got exposed a wee bit. They got beaten up again. Their scrum started to disintegrate a wee bit once they brought the bench on. Their line-out got cleaned out because Sam Whitelock wasn't there. They were getting smashed around in the collision. They were being counteracted off the ball by South Africa. They couldn't catch a high kick other than Jordy Barrett managed to do that. So they were a wee bit, oh, jeebers, we haven't really gone very far down the road here. Learned a hell of a lot playing South Africa. We saw some of that come out against Wales. You know, they played a different style of rugby, much tighter. They went north to south a lot longer than they normally do before they started to go east to west. And they were patient. They were disciplined. They kicked goals, put scoreboard pressure on, crushed Wales up front first, and then created that pathway to tear them apart in the final quarter. And that's the blueprint that they're after. But look, I'm not sure if this is disrespectful to Wales, but I'm not sure that was a great Welsh team on the park that day.
Careful,
and
now.
Ireland, of course,
the Welsh don't like being told home truth.
Different proposition.
Yeah, we've run into trouble with Welsh rugby Twitter in the past, where we've inspired them to greatness. It's fair to say by saying such things as that wasn't a great Wales team.
Yeah. So look, Ireland, I think Ireland presents as the biggest challenge that the All Blacks have faced since they've played South Africa. I'm not trying to brand Ireland as a similar, entirely similar team to South Africa, but there are similarities in the type of rugby that they'll be playing. I think Ireland look to move the ball a bit more than South Africa do, but fundamentally the challenge will come in many of the same areas, particularly the kicking game, where I think Ireland are one of the best at, getting up after their own kicks and contesting them, and that's been a real weakness for the All Blacks this year. They haven't been good at that. So that's what we're all quite excited about, is to see how much progress New Zealand have actually made in playing that kind of attrition test match rugby that they don't. We don't actually play a lot of it down here in the Southern Hemisphere, other than when South Africa are involved.
I guess the thing is that maybe there's a slight expectation on the Irish side of things that maybe they're moving away a little bit from that attritional style, but maybe it comes back over the next little while, and maybe in a game against New Zealand, that's exactly what they'll be thinking to bring to the table this weekend. And I'm just wondering, from your perspective, if you go back to the last time the All Blacks played Ireland, it was an absolute hockeying, and yet Ireland had that same style of rugby. Yes, they were in a bad place. Their form had dipped dramatically in the 12 months previously. But had you seen anything that had suggested that actually the All Blacks had cracked Ireland on that occasion, or there was something more than Ireland being in a low ebb at that point in the 2019 World Cup?
I don't think Ireland were at their best. You would know way more about that than I would. But what I do know is losing to Ireland in November 2018 paved the way for that performance that night. That loss in Dublin really hurt them, because Ireland outplayed them that day. And quite often when the All Blacks lose, there's occasionally a sort of poor refereeing call, or the All Blacks are clearly off their game, something's not gone right for them, and you kind of go, well, that's, they didn't play very well, referee did them over, that's why they lost. But this one, Ireland just beat them, fair and square, hands up, Ireland dominated them, were more physical, played better, didn't give them a chance, defended superbly, brilliant performance by Ireland. And the All Blacks sat in the changing room afterwards and went, shit, we've been beaten here. That's the world number two team. We were New Zealand were the world number one team at that time. And they were thinking, well, we're in a false position here. These guys are better than us. So when they met Ireland in the quarterfinal, which they probably weren't expecting pre-tournament, nobody was really. I think everybody thought Ireland would win that pool. They perked up, and obviously they wanted to get into the semi-final, and that was clearly, it's a World Cup knockout game, so clearly that's the point. But they were particularly driven towards that game. They put a lot of emotion into it because of the respect that they had for Ireland, that need to put the balance right, as it were, and they threw everything in. I mean, I ended up watching a YouTube video of it the other day because I forgot what happened. And you see the emotion when the All Black players scored those tries early. They were pumped. They were really, really pumped when they scored. They were focused. That was probably the best performance the All Blacks produced, within a two-year period. That was a huge night for them. And it probably had a massive bearing why they went out the next week and were beaten quite easily by England, because they were drained. And I don't think this is a consolation for Ireland, but they should understand this, that they brought the absolute best out of the All Blacks that night. And that was clearly one of the best performances that they produced. So, whether Ireland were completely off the game or not, there are times where the All Blacks, if they get everything right, as everybody knows, jeepers, they can be pretty horrible to play against when they have everything going their way.
One of the other things that we're obsessed about at the moment is how we keep failing at World Cups. In particular, World Cup quarterfinal has been as far as we've ever gotten. And there's a concern that we're constantly out of cycle, where we're brilliant 18 months, 2 years, a year out from a World Cup. And then generally, for whatever reason, there's just a crash as we arrive at the World Cup and go, oh no, everything's a disaster. It seems like at the moment, New Zealand are trying to fix whatever happened in the last World Cup, and that actually there's still quite a bit of experimentation going on in terms of personnel and game plan as we're talking about. So shouldn't we expect New Zealand to be all singing, all dancing at the weekend?
No, you should do. And this is an important game for them. This will tip the balance of their season in terms of context, how we're going to end up viewing it. This is an important game for them to win. Big venue. They have a couple of younger guys in the team, but this is a largely experienced group. the one that they'll end up picking. So now they'll want to put a performance on the field. Will it be the complete performance? No. Have they reached a point where they've got nothing left to offer? Absolutely not. But they've got quite a lot of growing to do, this team. They've still got a lot of areas where they're not brilliant. They've got a bit of inconsistency in the system as well. They fluctuate a wee bit. So they're on a mission here to build towards the World Cup. I don't know how far up that mountain I would say they are at the moment, but this game against Ireland will be a pretty good gauge of where they're at. Now, they won't expect to be right at the top, but they're beginning to get to the point where they're going to want to see a pretty strong performance, because they'll be picking their top team. And they want to see a lot out of those guys. And where they're probably building is in the kind of depth side of things. So they're trying to build a wider group of players this year, develop a wider range of guys, give them quite a bit of experience. And then next year, probably with COVID impact lessening, squad sizes will come down again. So they're going to have to, they're going to have to work with a tighter group of players. And they're going to have to find out a few things before they get to that point of culling a few. And this week against Ireland and next week against France will be very important in who ends up making the cut for them next year.
I just wanted to ask you a question about the South African teams. You talked earlier about how the style is important. And now that the clubs won't get the opportunity to go up against the South African style as often or ever, what impact do you think that's going to have in terms of the long-term ability to plan and think and test the players at club level to make sure that they're ready when they come up against South Africa at international level in the future?
Yeah, look, good question. And that whole disbandment of Super Rugby, ultimately became quite political, but really it was by necessity because borders were shut, so it couldn't carry on. So... and a lot of players here and media were quite concerned about that, because while a lot of the South African players don't actually play Super Rugby, they're off playing in your part of the world or in Japan, it's still quite important for New Zealand, younger New Zealand players in particular, to get that exposure to that different type of rugby. Like, they're big men. Don't want to generalise, but you've seen them, you've got them in your league. They tend to be really solid guys, and they have a different rhythm about how they play. They're really muscular. They run direct, hard lines at you. They kind of ask, how tough are you? You're willing to tackle me head on? Well, we'll find out. So that kind of confrontational style, they do kick a lot more possession. New Zealand Super Rugby teams and Australian Super Rugby teams barely kick. It's end-to-end running. And that's brilliant for their pass and catch. And that's why you see them, you'll see Australia do it every now and again. They'll just put together amazing passages of play. But they're also, again, like New Zealand, a wee bit vulnerable because they don't have that kick-catch, big crunchy head-on set piece scrum for penalty type attitude, kick for the corner, drive your line out ball. Doesn't happen here. So look, there's a wee bit of concern about how do New Zealand get that into their diet without it being there naturally as part of Super Rugby anymore, because it is a bit of a cultural shock for some of these young All Blacks at the moment who haven't really, the guys who came into the team last year, half of them had never played against a South African team full stop, never mind the Springboks. So it was all alien. And half of them had never been to Europe and played a game up there and encountered the type of rugby that Ireland, Wales and France are playing. So that's a big issue for New Zealand at the moment. How do they get that breadth of exposure? Because unfortunately, Super Rugby is quite entertaining, but it's all very much one size fits all and how they all want to play.
That's really interesting, and it's going to be very interesting to see what the impact is on the European teams that they play and whether or not it improves the standard here and makes us better at international level. So it's all up for grabs over the next couple of seasons. And then the last thing is, the last time we spoke to you, it seems like it's years and years and years ago, but it's actually at the very start of this tour, which is the never-ending tour, like properly one of those tours in the late 1800s, early 1900s, where the team went away and came back with several years experience and some PTSD from the travel.
Yeah.
What has this actually been like for the players on tour? We saw a picture of, I think, Beauden Barrett in the Guinness Storehouse having a pint the other night, and like they did look like they were okay. We're doing our Instagram stuff here, and we're nearly home, nearly finished, folks. This thing is nearly over.
Yeah, well, it's one of the hard things because no one's been able to travel with them, because if you leave New Zealand at the moment, you can't get back in without a pre-booked MIQ spot, and the All Blacks managed to secure theirs, but we don't have the leverage that they do, so you know, no one's there. So our contact with the team is via Zoom, and so it's actually very difficult to get a real handle on, you know, how they're actually traveling, what it's been like for them. They've kind of lived under self-imposed COVID protocol, so they haven't really been out and about a great deal. Certainly earlier in the tour, when they were in Australia, they were kind of very much hotel bound, because Australia actually had an outbreak in Queensland, so they were under regulation there. But since they've been in Europe, they've been really tight. If they go out, they go out on a bus, sightseeing on a bus rather than sort of wandering around Dublin. I think they've managed to get out every now and again and have a coffee and a beer somewhere along the way. But it's not really been the old-fashioned, I mean, it's been old-fashioned touring experience in the length, but it certainly hasn't been in terms of what they've been getting up to. So I think that, I mean, I don't know, it wouldn't be a life for me. I don't think I would really enjoy being hotel-bound for 12 to 14 weeks and not really being able to get out to break the boredom. So I think it's been pretty tough for them. They're telling us it's bonded them, it's brought them all closer together, and take them at face value. But again, I guess we'll find out on this week and next, because these are the two really big games, and that'll give us a real sense of where they're at mentally, how much this tour has taken out of them, how well prepared they really are, or whether a few of them are sitting there going, do you know what, I'm over it, I really just want to go home.
What's your prediction for what's going to happen?
Tight game, clearly. Like, I think the All Blacks have got a big performance brewing somewhere in this trip. If they don't get it out this week, they'll get it out next. But I think this is the one that they'll probably put a reasonable showing together. I don't think they'll win by much, but you know, maybe 6 to 10 points, and that will probably come a wee bit later in the game before they ease out to any kind of comfort on the scoreboard. But I think it'll be pretty physical and titanic. I wish I could be there. Looking forward to it.
Sounds like a classic. Gregor, great to have you back with us. Thanks a million. Cheers.
Thank you. Cheers.
Gregor Paul, you can read his stuff in the New Zealand Herald, and we recommend you do. It's interesting to hear that perspective. It has been a very long tour, and it either makes you or breaks you, right? You could definitely end up getting very annoyed about your roommates and the snoring and the whatever they do.
Oh, yeah, I presume that they don't have, the line said that they had no roommates this time because of COVID and all that.
Yeah.
So maybe the All Blacks don't as well. They're just chilling out. They can put on whatever they want.
Doubles your cost.
But you suspect that the All Blacks are doing okay commercially. Not that anybody's succeeding commercially at the moment or anything like that. But it is a hell of a tour. But I think that, like, from their previous tours, I'm sure they're fairly fatigued when they come up here anyway. Like, it is at the end of a season. It is a multi-game series. Sometimes you got to go between the United States and between Europe, as we saw in 2016. So they're relatively used to it. Of course, it's a bit longer, a good bit longer on this occasion. But I think maybe we when Ireland beat them in the past, we kind of forget about the fact that they are on a long tour and they are in a weakened position, just like Ireland are in a weakened position when they go down to New Zealand or down to the Southern Hemisphere in the summer, and that's what makes any summer tour wins special. There is just a lack of advantage from the away team for a number of reasons, and maybe Ireland will take advantage of that on Saturday.